This podcast is part of the Zedia Network. That's media with a Z. For more information on the Zedia Network, you can check them out on Twitter, at Zedia Network. Now to the show. All right, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Browns Huddle podcast. Today, I'm joined by special guest, Jordan Zerm. Jordan does social media content editing for The Checkdown. He was also involved in the Tomahawk Show with Andrew Hawkins and future Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas. And if that isn't enough, he's also a huge Browns fan. So we're really excited to have Jordan on the show. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate the invite to come on. And yeah, man, anytime I can talk Browns, I jump at it. So yeah, appreciate the invite.
Awesome. Well, before we get into some Browns talk, I thought maybe you can share with the listeners your involvement with the Checkdown and maybe some of the things you guys are up to.
Yeah, for sure. Well, obviously, you know, it's a bit of a weird off season with everything going on. But yeah, so I've been, this will be my second season with the Checkdown. We're sort of like, I like to refer to us as the NFL account's cooler younger brother. We can, you know, we do fun stuff. We're posting highlights. We're posting, you know, players goofing around on the sidelines. We're posting fashion stuff from players. So we kind of, it's kind of the intersection of the NFL and the culture around it. So it's a lot of fun, very player-driven, player-centric. And yeah, so this will be my second season coming up with them. And yeah, we're, you know, the preseason got canceled and this offseason has been, you know, very quiet because guys haven't been really, you know, when they were off by themselves, usually, you know, we're getting videos of them working out and them doing stuff with teammates on the side and stuff. And obviously that hasn't happened. So I'm very much looking forward to hopefully some new footage of guys playing football and practicing with each other. And you know, now that training camp's going on and yeah, we'll hopefully get into the season in September. And but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be weird. It's going to be very different. So it's going to be a challenge, but yeah, I'm excited to kind of see where it goes.
No doubt. I actually saw one of the videos recently, Saquon Barkley jumping out of the swimming pool. That guy's a beast, man.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous, some of the stuff that they make look like the easiest thing in the world. Like it's no problem at all. So yeah, Saquon is a different breed of human. He does things not many people athletically can do. So he's fun to watch.
No doubt. You've also, obviously, you were involved with the Tomahawk Show. And for us Browns fans, you know, you're working with two former Browns, Andrew Hawkins, of course. He played with the Browns for a little while. And the future Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas, you know, you got to work side by side with him. Tell me what that experience was like.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty surreal. I think, you know, as a kid growing up, really only knowing this sort of second iteration of the Browns, like Joe Thomas is the Browns for, you know, guys like us. And so, you know, getting to just like talk to him as like a coworker was pretty wild. And I think the coolest thing was like both him and Hawk are two of the nicest people you're like ever going to meet. So, you know, they sometimes tell you like, don't meet your heroes because they're probably not going to be as nice to you as you think. But like Joe Thomas and Andrew Hawkins both were like two of the nicest guys I've ever met, both like personally, professionally. So yeah, very surreal experience. It was a ton of fun getting to do that show that year, getting to just talk sports with them on a kind of like bi-weekly basis. So yeah, but very surreal. You know, it's very surreal to log on to a video chat and see Joe Thomas like sitting on the other side and you just kind of get to BS with him before the show starts. So yeah, not something I will forget for sure.
He's the kind of guy you definitely, if you ever get a chance to have a beer with, you would jump at that opportunity, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. He'd grill you up something delicious. Yeah. Like I wish we very briefly discussed a Tomahawk, like a little reunion, like at his enormous home in Wisconsin where we just drink beers and eat whatever he's cooking. Hasn't happened yet, but that would probably be a top five day of my life for sure.
A little funny story about Joe Thomas. I recently had a couple people that said, "Man, Jason, you kind of look like Joe Thomas a little bit." And of course, I wore that as a badge of honor. And the other night, I my wife was sitting there, and I said, "Hey, honey, a couple people said that I look like Joe Thomas." And she looked at me, and she just goes, and then just turned and walked away.
You know, keeping you grounded, keeping you humble. You know.
Yeah, you got to. Well, you know, still staying with the technology, and I'm still amazed with Twitter and just how fast you can get news that's going on with the NFL. Back when I was in high school, I remember running out to the driveway on Monday morning, grabbing that newspaper, getting the sports page and checking the box line and the stats of all my players. Well, now, you know, that's all right in front of us. It's at our fingertips as it's happening. I'll show you a little publication I used to get once a week when I was a kid. It's called Browns News Illustrated, and it used to come once a week. And that's how I used to get our news back then.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we're in that the sweet spot of the age of technology. This is definitely the sweet spot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, I am very fortunate to like have a like social media help me get a job. You know, so that to me is a very wild thing. And yeah, I mean, when I graduated college in 2011, and the landscape was already starting to change pretty drastically in terms of Twitter was becoming bigger and digital media was becoming way bigger and all of that. I think, you know, it's both good and it also has its challenges. It's, you know, it's a tough sports journalism, sports media is changing all the time, and the jobs that are available and what kind of jobs are changing all the time. But yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, we focus on it, the check down Twitter and Instagram, and yeah, like that's where everybody is. And it's a different medium, and it's a different way to sort of present and tell stories and stuff. But and that's something I've had to, you know, I have a writing background. And so that has been a and that was an adjustment for me last season, kind of like thinking socially and thinking that way. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's so instantaneous and it's so happening all the time. And, you know, people love it. And yeah, so it's wild to just kind of have a job that's basically running an Instagram and Twitter account. But, you know, I have no complaints in that area.
Well, awesome. Well, Jordan, let's get into some Browns talk. I want to respect your time. I know you got to get out of here, but we are a Browns podcast, so I wanted to talk some Browns with you. In your time of being a Browns fan, first of all, what's your earliest memory of being a Browns fan? How far back do you go?
Oh, love answering that question, because it is Orlando Brown being hit in the eye with a flag in 1999 is probably my first Browns memory. Yeah, I mean, so I'm, you know, I was born at the end of 88, so I don't really have any memories of, you know, late 80s, early Browns football. Like, I don't have any Bill Belichick memories. I don't really have any memories of, fortunately, like the team leaving and all that. I was still very young when that was all going on. So it really wasn't until 99 when they came back that I really was old enough to understand what was going on and really get into it and become a fan. So yeah, earliest memory is unfortunately that in the inaugural season. Really great stuff all around, having a blast. But so yeah, so that's where it started. That was my introduction to what Browns football was going to be for me for many years of my life.
What an exciting time for Cleveland when the Browns did come back. I remember their first preseason game was against the Cowboys, and we actually won that game. And I just remember how excited I was. I imagine you were too, that the Browns are finally back, you know. And it was a tough road. It's been a tough road, but it's looking like, you know, times are getting better for us.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, it's funny because, yeah, I mean, it really has been, you know, there's been a couple blips. I think, you know, you think about like 2007 when, well, I guess 2002, obviously, when they made the playoffs, you know, that was a super fun season, even though, you know, they lost a game in the playoffs they should have won, but, you know, we don't have to get into that. But, you know, and then 2007, you know, you go 10-6 and you don't make the playoffs, which is such a thing to happen to the Cleveland Browns. And then, you know, 2014, whatever the year, I always forget exactly what season, but the year that they, you know, Brian Hoyer and Kyle Shanahan, and they were in first place in the division very briefly, and they were 6-3. But that was a lot of fun. They had that big, that huge Thursday night win over the Bengals that season on national television. And so, you know, we've had very small tastes of, like, the smallest taste of success that you can have as a franchise. And I'm very hopeful that this year's team is going to look like what we all thought maybe last year's team was going to look like. And I think there's a lot of there's a huge opportunity for them to have a bounce back season. And I, you know, I'm always more optimistic than pessimistic about stuff. So I feel I'm excited for the season. I think they hopefully have a better coaching staff in place, a better culture and environment in place that's going to allow the very talented players they have on this team to kind of be what we thought they were going to be. So, fingers crossed for that, because we, you know, it's been time for them to have a good team for a very long time. So I hope that we're finally there.
Let me ask you this. In your time of being a Browns fan, what are your two best moments and two of your worst moments of rooting for the Brown and Orange?
That's a really good question. Two of my best moments. Let's see. You know, unfortunately, there's not a ton to choose from. I think, like, I look at that 2007 season very fondly because I was in college and I went to the University of Missouri. So I was nowhere near anybody that was rooting for any Cleveland sports teams. And we used to go to a bar, me and my roommates, every Sunday, and we all rooted for different teams. And I remember that season, like that first game, they got destroyed by Pittsburgh and they ended up trading Charlie Fry. And I remember sitting there just being like, I don't even want to watch, like, what am I watching these games for? I was literally at a point where I was like, I don't even want to wear Browns gear to this bar. Like, this is embarrassing. And I remember coming back, and I think that second game was, they played the Bengals and it was that shootout. I think they scored like 52 points. And I remember being like, what is happening? Like, this is a blast. So that whole season, I just remember having so much fun because you just didn't, it was the first time the Browns looked like a team that had any idea what it was doing. And, you know, you think about it to this day, like that offense of Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow and Jamal Lewis, I mean, like they had a very fun, like legit offensive team. So I think that one is more, that's more of a general full season thing that, that I really, really had a great time as. And honestly, who knows how it's going to work out and how long he'll be here. But when the trade for Odell Beckham happened, it was one of those things that was so surreal. It's a player that you don't ever think is going to be on your favorite team. And then when it happened, like, it was just, I remember that night, and I remember texting people and calling people and like how much fun that was. So, you know, I think it's a bit of an indictment that, yeah, like there aren't a whole lot of other moments for me that are like, this is amazing because of just what the Browns are. But I, you know, he's such a superstar, and you just don't think about the Browns as a team that has had a lot of those types of players since 1999. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But that moment, that day that trade happened was quite the time. And then, man, worst moments, worst moments is probably a bit easier. I'm trying to think if like specifically, I do think, you know, that playoff game in 2002, I think probably for a lot of people, but, you know, specifically when, you know, Dennis Northcutt dropped the pass that would have probably secured the win for them. That was really tough. And I love Dennis had I think it sucks because it overshadows the game he had. He played really well and had a really good game, but a lot of people just remember that he dropped that pass. That was really tough. That was, I remember there was a video that came out where players from the Steelers were congratulating players on the Browns in between plays because they thought the game was over too. And it's hard. And that was so hard to watch after it. So that was really tough. And then, man, I'm trying to think like if there's any, I have like a random moments. Another one that stands out is that game they played the Patriots. They had Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon went off. I think it was one of the couple games he went for over 200 yards. And they ended up, they were up like multiple touchdowns, and they ended up like giving up like 17 points in a span of like, I don't know, a couple minutes. Like they let the Patriots receive an onside kick and like all that stuff. So that I remember, like I was so angry, I threw something across the room, and I don't often do that. So that was,
it's probably, okay. Sometimes yeah, you gotta do that. Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta do it. That was rough. And also, honestly, for being honest too, the most disappointed I've ever been probably was that game that Johnny Manziel, the first game he started, and it was against the Bengals, and everybody was hype and they were like, let's go. And he as we now know, didn't know any of the plays or have any idea what was going on in that game. They got destroyed and like he looked terrible. And I remember going from like such elation and like so excited about that start because you were like, all right, well, it's a Johnny Manziel era. Like, let's go. Let's see what this is all about. And it was just that game went as poorly as you could have hoped for. So that one's up there too.
I think that the only guy that knew that Manziel wasn't ready was Shanahan.
Yes.
You know, yeah, he had a big problem with us throwing him in there. He's like, this guy is not ready. You know,
he knew.
You know, it's interesting. You brought up two of your favorite moments the OBJ trade and what was the other one?
Just the 07 season in general.
07 season, yes. Those are moments where you just remember where you were when it happened. You know, I'm always going to remember where I was when I heard that OBJ got traded to the Browns, and that Bengals game. Oh man, that high scoring Bengals game. I remember.
Oh man,
I was in a family friendly restaurant and I couldn't contain myself. I was asked to, you know, quiet down a little bit, you know, cause I was a little too loud. But in that Steelers game, the playoff, that I was actually at that game. And I remember where I was when we found out that we made the playoffs and how excited everybody was. I was excited. And I immediately got on American Airlines and got some plane tickets to Pittsburgh. And man, I got snowballs thrown at me. It was a good time, but I can't believe that we lost that game.
That one will always hurt, but you know, hopefully we'll have some more playoff memories to come.
Better times ahead. All right, let's get into some current Browns talk. In the last couple of years, the Browns roster has, you know, it was injected with real talent across the board by former GM John Dorsey. Last year, I thought the area that looked pieced together was the offensive line, and I know I'm not alone in that thought. Coupled with lousy coaching of Freddie Kitchens, and it just spelled disaster. This year, with the new regime, they identified that weakness of the offensive line, and they addressed it in free agency in the draft. My question to you is, what areas of our team are you confident and excited about, and what areas of our team do you think that we could still use some improvement?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you make a good point about the offensive line. I think that is – that makes me feel, both with, you know, Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin, and hopefully shoring up both sides of those lines. I feel confident in the offense, and that's why last year was so hard, because it's like this is the most talent offensively I think they've had in a very long time. I mean, like having Kareem Hunt as a luxury second running back who was a rushing champion a handful of years ago, and you know, having Jarvis and OBJ as your two receivers, and you know, I'm expecting Baker to have a bounce back year and be better than he was last year. So I am confident in the offense, and I do think like Kevin Stefanski's system is going to help them tremendously as they sort of try to regroup from last year. So I do feel confident about the offense, because the line should be way better, and that should allow everything to sort of flow from there. I think what I feel least confident about is, I mean, obviously the linebacker group is pretty unproven. So I think it's probably a combination of the linebacker group, where, you know, you've got a couple of second year guys, and then you've got, you know, Jacob Phillips, who they drafted from LSU, and you know, you just don't know about those guys, and you know, with Schobert and Kirksey and guys that you at least knew kind of what you were getting. That's a pretty big question mark. And then, yeah, like the safety spot. You know, I hope Grant Delpit is what he was in 2018 for LSU. And I hope the reason why he struggled last year was because of that ankle injury that he had. So, you know, the Browns very well could have gotten a steal where they got Grant Delpit and he could ball out, and that would be great. But you just don't know. And if he does struggle, you know, they've kind of pieced together that safety spot with a couple of guys they gave 1 year deals to. And, you've got Sheldrick Redwine, which nobody really knows what he is, and if he can be a contributor. So I would probably say the safety, both safety spots and the linebacking core, is probably the areas I have the least amount of confidence in, and just because so much of it is unknown, and we don't know what kind of players these guys are yet. So those are probably defensively, on the defensive side, where I'm a little skeptical. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jordan. My take is it's going to take them a minimum of 5 to 6 games to even gel in the linebacker position. So hopefully our offense can carry us. But, you know, our defense is a wild card, but it is something that I'm looking at that could possibly carry this team when it gets into the December months, you know, cold months. I am excited about our defense, and I think that, you know, it could be an area where, you know, people are not thinking that we're going to be that good, but maybe they can surprise some people.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you do look at the defense, the back end is maybe a little shaky, but they probably have one of the better defensive lines in all of the NFL. And that obviously can make a huge impact on, you know, not having to have their cornerbacks, you know, be in coverage as long because they're getting to the quarterback and not forcing, you know, I mean, I think Denzel's very good. Greedy, I think needs to have a better season, but I think he's very talented. So, you know, and then you look at, you know, a guy like Terrence Mitchell, who I think is a really good kind of nickel cornerback. So yeah, I do think like they have a huge strength, and that is the defensive line. And that is Myles Garrett, who's going to be motivated and ready to play. And, so yeah, I think to that point, yeah, it's hopefully that defensive line anchors the defense and makes it so that secondary doesn't have to be in coverage for longer than they probably need to be.
Yeah, I mean, the whole goal of the defensive line is just to create chaos, right? And to make the quarterback make bad decisions, and that'll help our linebackers and, you know, our cornerbacks and safety. So I think you're right, man. It's going to be definitely something to watch for sure.
It is. And I was just going to say too, I hope the whole team after last season is just like pissed and just like, that was not us, you know? And, you know, they did a lot of talking and they had a lot of hype and they fell on their face. And I hope that they feel that. And I hope they're pissed about that. And I hope they come out and play like that this season. So that's another hope of mine.
You had mentioned Jacob Phillips. It just seems like there's something special about that guy. You know, he's from LSU. LSU, they just pump out defensive players. And we got some LSU on the defense, you know, with Greedy Williams, Grant Delpit, and now Jacob Phillips. Is there anybody else? But, yeah. The LSU, I like that in our defense. I do. I am fond of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cleveland's kind of LSU North, as it's sort of, you know, you got OBJ and Jarvis on the offensive side, and you got three guys on the defensive side. Yeah, Jacob Phillips is interesting because of anybody in the draft, he was actually the one that, I mean, at least if you look at some analytical stuff, that he was really the only one that got sort of overdrafted. Like, a lot of people thought that the Browns probably could have got him later than they took him. But I think what they saw in him was a guy that is a very sure tackler, and someone that has played in, I think they value the play in the SEC conference and against kind of top competition and that experience. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Jacob can't handle where he gets drafted. You know, that's not up to him. So he's just got to come in and be that sure tackler and be that guy that, you know, is, you know, not going to be blowing tackles and getting run over and anything like that. So, yeah, I'm intrigued by him because it sort of was a consensus that the Browns probably took him a little too high. But, you know, if it pans out, it doesn't matter. So, you know, we'll see.
That's well said. Good point, Jordan. All right. I just have a couple more things to go over and we'll get you out of here. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski. And what I really want to talk about is, to me, one of the things I'm really interested in when this season starts and training camp, when that starts, which it's starting now, is the relationship development between Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski. It's going to be exciting to watch. If you had to just sit back and think just for a second, what current QB and coach chemistry in the league do you think they will most look like between, you know, Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield? You know, example, Belichick, Brady. I know they're not together now, but they had a long, good relationship. Peyton Breeze, Reed Mahomes, Kingsbury, Murray, Tomlin, Roethlisberger. Who do you think they'll look like as far as relationship-wise?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like that. You know, I think a couple of those guys you mentioned are sort of, I think in a perfect world is what I hope they look like. I think, you know, even when you think about Sean McVay and Jared Goff, you know, Jared Goff, I think very much benefits from that system in LA, but benefits from having a coach that he is in constant communication with, and is, he knows the system they're running front and back, and he, and that helps him a lot. I think, so if there's an aspect of that, sort of that relationship and understanding that system, because I do think Kevin Stefanski does have a, obviously a very distinct sort of system that he's bringing to Cleveland, maybe more so than some other coaches. And then if you look at Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, you know, they're very forward thinking in how they run an offense. And, you know, Cliff came with a lot of college concepts and stuff that he wanted to kind of inject, and they, you know, a lot of it worked, and I think is only going to continue to work. You know, you add in a DeAndre Hopkins and another year for Kyler. So I would love for it to look something, some sort of combination of, yeah, a Cliff and Kyler in terms of being innovative on offense and doing fun and exciting stuff on offense. But then on the flip side, having Baker, having that sort of knowledge of Kevin's system and really understanding how to run it. So then you look like a Jared Goff, who is just too, not so much last year, but two seasons ago, was just masterful running Sean McVay's system in LA. So I think it'd probably be a combination of that, that's more of like, I hope this is what they look like, but I do think there's the very much the possibility that that is what they end up looking like.
It's an interesting dynamic to really look at and pay attention to. You know, Kevin Stefanski, he's an interesting coach, and it was an interesting hire. And I think it's going to ultimately benefit Baker to be in his system, right? So, but I think one of the things I'm going to look at is Kevin Stefanski is going to demand respect, but in a player's coach kind of way. I don't think he's going to tiptoe around issues. I think if there's a problem, he's going to handle it. He's going to handle it the right way. He's very smart and he's intelligent. So Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield, I think it's going to be a great relationship. And like I said before, I think Baker is going to really benefit from Stefanski's system. I think a lot of players will, but you know, Baker is at the forefront.
Yeah. It's a huge year for him. And I think he's aware of that. I am hopeful that, yes, the system will make things a little bit easier for him in year three as well. You know, obviously Stefanski loves to use tight ends, and a lot of what tight ends do are just make it easy on third and five to just, you know, settle down in an area and be wide open and be that guy that, you know, you can just, you know, he's going to be there, and you know, you can move the chains with him. And I do think that utilization of those tight ends, a lot like, you know, what the Browns were doing in Freddie Kitchens. Well, you know, in that year where Freddie Kitchens became the offensive coordinator, where they were running a lot of kind of 12 personnel and that sort of thing, which Kevin Stefanski is going to, you know, use a good amount of. So, I'm optimistic. I don't think there's any way Baker is as bad as what he looked like last year. Like, I don't think that's what kind of quarterback he is. I think there were a lot of factors that played into how bad he was. And I think having a system like this is going to allow him hopefully to have a big bounce back year, because he has to have it. It's a pretty pivotal year for him. So
totally agree. It has to happen this year. And I agree with you. I think it will happen. Just seeing what we've seen from Baker during the off season with the workouts and how he's looking now. And we heard the story about, you know, with Alex Van Pelt asking Baker to change his footwork, and he did, and he looks fantastic. There was a video that surfaced a couple days ago, you know, about that. So yeah, I think Baker's head is right. And to your point, this is a big year for Baker, and I think he knows that.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. It's going to be, again, like any Brown season, there's going to be a lot to look at and a lot to pay attention to, and a lot of kind of stuff that's could go one way or the other. But I do think they are in a much better spot now with this coaching staff than what happened last year, which was quite frankly a huge disaster. So at least I feel good about that.
Do you think that, you know, the Tennessee Titans were a great story last year. Unfortunately, it's their story started by thumping the Browns, and they went far in the playoffs. I meant to look this up before you got on, but weren't they one game away from the Super Bowl?
They were. They lost to the Chiefs. Yeah.
They lost to the Chiefs. So they're one game away from the Super Bowl. Do you think this year's Browns can be last year's Chiefs? And let me just put this on there. There's a kind of a parallel with it, because last year, you know, nobody was looking at Tennessee. Everybody thought the Browns were going to beat Tennessee, which didn't obviously happen. this year, the Browns play the Ravens week one, and nobody's really looking at the Browns. Everybody's just kind of saying, oh, you know, we're going to lose the first game, but then they look at the rest schedule. Do you think that it's possible that the Browns could be last year's Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I think the possibility is certainly there. I think maybe the Titans were even more under the radar than the Browns are right now. I still think, like, when you have OBJ and Jarvis and Baker, like, there's just personalities on a team that are going to make noise and people are going to pay attention to them. But I do think, to your point, that, yeah, I don't know if we know what to expect from them, and I don't think if the rest of the league knows what to expect of them. I do think there's a parallel in that, you know, we'll see how much Kevin Stefanski runs the ball. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much of his influence in Minnesota was from Mike Zimmer, who was demanding the ball to be run, and how much, you know, but I do think he's going to lean more on the run probably than obviously Freddie Kitchens did. And obviously Tennessee, a huge part of Tennessee's offense was Derrick Henry and playing off of Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill was way under the radar and came out and played very well. So I will say that I think the Browns are not quite as under the radar. I don't think anybody expected really much of anything from the Titans last year. I think maybe there's a little more expectation on the Browns, but I think there is a chance for them to sneak up on some people because of how dysfunctional they looked last season. And I think that sort of, since that's the most recent video we have of this team, teams are probably going to be feeling that way. So I do think they have an opportunity to, especially opening up against the MVP of the league last year and a very good Baltimore Ravens team. They have a chance to surprise some people. So I hope so. We'll see.
I think Nick Chubb has a chip on his shoulder. I don't think he would ever admit it because he's the ultimate team guy, but I don't think that sat well with him getting that rushing title stripped from him the last week of the year. I think
last week,
Derrick Henry went off like 200 and something yards the last game of the year, and it just got taken from him. So I don't think that sits well with him. And I look for a huge dose of Nick Chubb this year.
Yeah, Nick's gonna have a huge year. I think it's. If I could guarantee one thing about this season, it is that Nick Chubb is going to have a really big year. So, barring any injuries, hopefully, and knock on wood, he's something special. And I think this offense is gonna be tailor made for him as well. So I think that's only gonna benefit him.
Well, Jordan, this has been fun, man, and I appreciate the time. I want to get you out of here because I want to respect your time. Anything you want to plug? Where can the listeners find you at?
Yeah, so you can just follow us. Very simple, at the Checkdown. We're on Twitter and Instagram. We're on Facebook too, but main places Instagram and Twitter, and especially during game days, fun account to follow. We have the first rights to post highlights, since we are owned by the NFL, we have that ability to be the first account that's posting any sort of highlights on game day. So that's fun, and that's a fun reason to follow us. And as always, I try my best to insert as much Browns content as I can into the day. So check us out at the Checkdown, and I'm personally on Twitter at Clevezerm, CLEVEZIRM, if you want to follow me there as well. Come get involved, and hopefully it's going to be a weird but hopefully fun season. So that's where you guys
absolutely can find me. I follow both accounts, Jordan, and expect a lot of retweets from the Browns Huddle Pod and the Browns Huddle.
Much appreciated. Very much appreciated.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and maybe we could do this again during the season.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be fun. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Go Browns.
Go Browns.
And we are back. You are listening to the Browns Huddle Podcast. I'm your humble host, Jason Hand. And in the last episode, you probably heard me mention we are now part of the Zedia Network. And yes, that's true. And we are very excited about it. And here's why. The Zedia Network will help improve our podcast quality by offering our listeners high-profile guests, like the one you just heard, Jordan Zerm, with the Checkdown. By the way, what a great interview that was. So, yeah, I was really excited to have Jordan, and I hope you enjoyed listening to him and his take on the Cleveland Browns. Andrew Zolden is the producer and co-host of Drive the Lanes podcast. He is also the CEO and owner of Zedia Network. Andrew is here tonight to let us know what's going on with Zedia Network. Andrew, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to be on the show, a show that not only do I think is great, but good enough to be on the Zedia Network. So I'm happy to be here, man.
Well, man, I'm really excited that that you reached out to me. It was a couple weeks ago. Just got a message from you, and that message said you're starting a new network, the Zedia Network, and you asked me if I wanted to be a part of that, and I really didn't think twice. I was excited to come aboard. So, but before we get into that, you've been a Ohio State sports fan for quite a while. So maybe you can start just by letting the listeners know, you know, about your Ohio State sports fandom.
Yes. So Ohio in general, my dad's from Canton. So that's where the Browns fandom comes from. Huge Browns fan. We actually have season tickets now. Not so helpful this year, but we have season tickets. Huge Browns fan. Got to go to about 5 or 6 games last year, which was the first year we had season tickets, which was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then both my parents went to Ohio State, so that's the Ohio State fandom. I did not go to Ohio State. I went to Mizzou, but stayed an Ohio State fan. And then my fandom kind of just grew even more and turned into a little bit of a quote-unquote analyst with Drive the Lane, where we talk about some Ohio State basketball and football stuff. But yeah, you know, Indians are one of my favorite baseball teams. Browns are my favorite football team. Cavs were my second favorite basketball team when LeBron was there. But, yeah, I'm kind of all over the place when it comes to sports. But Browns, I'm a diehard Browns fan.
Yeah, it shows. If you just see your Twitter account, you can totally tell that. When did your fandom start, being a Browns fan? Like, how far back do you go?
That goes back – I mean, I can't remember any time when I wasn't a Browns fan, but the first game I ever, like – coherently can remember watching is they were playing the Bengals, and I think who was the kicker for like 1,000 years? I'm blanking on his name.
Phil Dawson.
Yeah, Phil Dawson, and he missed a kick against the Bengals, and that was my first, like, I think he hit the crossbar or something. It was like to win, and then they went to overtime and lost. It had to be like 15 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that. And I think that is my earliest memory of Browns terror, being a Browns fan. So that is the game that I can pinpoint where like coherently I remember being a Browns fan.
Yeah, wow. My first memory was the fumble. that was back in the 80s, and it was, dude, it was terrible. My dad, just like you, my dad is a huge Browns fan, still is, and that's where I get my Browns fandom from. And I'm sitting here as a 16-year-old kid, you know, and I'm watching my dad watch this game against the Denver Broncos, and I was kind of a football fan at that point. But I just remember looking at my dad, you know, and he's one of them fans that, you know, drinks his beer during the football game, stands up and cheers, and I just remember when Beiner fumbled that ball before the end zone. My dad, you know, and back then we had a 13-inch color television, right? So you really couldn't see the television that well. And when he saw the ball popped out, my dad went from jumping up and down to literally I saw him puking in the toilet. So that's how my Browns fandom started. And it was a good introduction, because it's been a ride, man. It's been a ride being a Browns fan for, you know, for as long as me and you have, hasn't it?
Yeah, my dad has a story from when he was growing up where he drove this van that he had with his dad and brother and friends to – this is years ago when he was a kid – to a Steelers game in Pittsburgh, and they had a Browns thing on the car or Brown's license plate or something. And they got back to the car after the game and it was like snowing and the windows were punched out, and they drove all the way back from Pittsburgh to Canton with the windows down in a snowstorm because the windows were punched out by Steelers fans.
Wow. So being that there was a snowstorm, I'm guessing it might've been a playoff game maybe, or towards the end of the season.
It was either a playoff game or right at the end of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome, man. All right. So let's get into the podcast that you're currently hosting, Drive the Lanes podcast. Tell us about that, man. What's that experience been like? I guess you've been doing that podcast for a little while now.
Yeah, so we're a little over a year. We actually started like exactly a year ago when the Ohio State alumni team won the basketball tournament a year ago, which was that off-season tournament. It's in the summer when there's no NBA, no college. And we've had a lot of big-time guests on the show, you know, Jared Sullinger, Greg Oden, Thad Matta, Coach wow. Holtman, who's the Ohio State basketball coach right now. We've got to do some really fun things. Like during NBA All-Star Weekend, we participated in this media shoot-around thing, and like Taco Fall was part of it, and you had to shoot over him. And it was like a reverse thing where we were the players and Colin Sexton was doing the post-game interview.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'll find you that video and send it to you of the Metro Media Jam, because I made like a bunch of threes and I came to the sideline and Colin Sexton was asking me like what I had going, how it was, you know, it was funny. It was cool. It was just one of the million things we've gotten to do through Drive the Lane. But we've interviewed some big time guests, which has been really cool, and made some big connections, which was part of the reason how I was able to start Zedia.
That's awesome. Can you ball? I mean, this is a little rabbit hole question, but can you ball?
Yeah, I mean, my co-host is definitely a little better than me, Joey, who played at Ohio State, but I can play a little ball.
Okay. Maybe we'll have to get out there sometime, man.
Yeah, we'll have a Zedia one-on-one tournament.
There we go. Yeah, we should definitely do that. You're on my team, though.
All right, sounds good.
All right, so yeah, you're the producer and co-host of Drive the Lane's podcast. It's about Ohio State basketball. But let's get into the Zedia Network. What's going on with that? I mean, I know it just started not too long ago. We already have three established podcasts: Drive the Lane's, as I'd mentioned, the Brown Settle podcast, which we're currently doing now, and the Unofficial Bengals podcast. So tell me what's going on with Zedia.
Yeah, so we got a couple more things in the works. I don't want to say too much, spoil too much, but we're adding some new shows here pretty soon. Trying to just add as many shows, get some sponsors, get the word out there for the company, get the word out there for whatever sponsors come on board. But you know, I think it's really cool. I went to school for journalism and marketing, and I think coming on board the Zedia Network, you got a real chance to improve your amount of listeners, improve your overall quality of a podcast, and yeah, I think it's really cool. And right now it's basically at ground zero with nowhere to go but up. So it's the right time to get on board. Brown's Huddle podcast is definitely getting in on the ground floor. But yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be, I'm hoping it gets pretty big.
I am too, Andrew. And if I could just say that I love your excitement level, your professionalism. Anytime I have a question, you're right there for me, through text messages or emails. So anybody who's listening to the show, if you're thinking about joining a network like Zedia, I would encourage you to reach out to Andrew, because he's definitely A1 in my book.
Well, I appreciate that.
Absolutely, man. Speaking of that, If somebody's in sports podcasting, or maybe they're thinking about starting a podcast, what would be the big reason why they would want to join a network such as Zedia?
Yeah, well, I think as we've already seen early on doing this, is we're kind of all promoting each other, which is big. The more social media accounts you have promoting each other, the better. The more access you have to guests, the better. I've connected you with some people already. I've connected our Bengals podcast with some people. Drive the Lane has a lot of connections. The new shows that we're adding, they've already got guests in place that we've been able to give them. So, there's a lot of different reasons. I think one of the biggest ones for us is kind of like being able to cross promote and get those guests that maybe someone wouldn't be able to get not on the network.
100%. Yeah, you're 100% correct. Well, very good. Well, do you have anything else you want to talk about the Zedia Network for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say that I think this is a kick-ass show, and it's only going to keep getting better. Jason, you're really early on, but you got a lot of potential. When Joe Thomas started on the Browns, I'm sure he was told, this team has a lot of potential. We'll be making the playoffs soon. So I hope the opposite of the trajectory that the Browns went in during Joe Thomas's career happens to this podcast. But in terms of the network, I mean, even if you're not a Browns, or even if you're only a Browns fan, you're going to enjoy the Bengals podcast. You're going to enjoy Drive the Lane podcast. You're going to enjoy the other shows that we're adding soon. And that's what I think is so great about the network and the shows that we have, is that the interviews that we have, the stuff that we talk about on all the shows, are going to be entertaining to everyone, not just the fans of those specific teams. And you'll see that in those new shows that we're adding soon. And again, not going to give away too much. They're going to be a little more generic, where the interviews and the content is going to be about, you know, overall sports or an overall league, and not just concentrated on one team. But being a Browns fan and having that Ohio State, you know, little bit of some Ohio State roots, and having the Ohio State show, I figured there was no better place to start than Browns, Bengals, Ohio State, which now I'm a little worried about the status of college and Ohio State football, but Drive the Lane's still going to bring the same great content we always have.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, Ohio, the state of Ohio, the fans are amazing. The support that they give to their local teams, you know, you mentioned the Bengals, you have the Browns, you have the Indians, you have Ohio State Buckeyes, you have, you know, for college basketball, football, it's amazing. And the faith they have in their team is like none other. So when you talk about a network like Zedia that's focusing on Ohio sports, that's exciting. So yeah, look up Zedia Network and all the podcasts that they have at this point. They're going to be adding more podcasts in the future. So man, Andrew, I appreciate it. Got a website now. Man, we're official. It's at ZediaNetwork.com. ZediaNetwork.com. I appreciate the time that you gave to us, Andrew. I know you're busy. Where can we find Zedia Network besides ZediaNetwork.com?
Yeah, so you said it. ZediaNetwork.com, on Twitter at Zedia Network, on Instagram at Zedia Network, and then all of our shows can be found, you know, on the website as well, and there's links on all the social medias. You know, we got to get that Google SEO up. Hopefully, if you Google Zedia Network, we come up. I'm actually going to check that right now, but just search us. You'll find us. But we're at Zedia Network in almost all places.
Well, fantastic. Well, listen, Andrew, I really enjoyed this time that you spent with us. And let's do this again, you know, when the Browns kick off in 5 weeks, 5 weeks from today. Maybe we can jump on and talk about some little Browns football.
Yeah, and honestly, something I didn't even tell you yet, which is some breaking news. Oh. I was at a bar in Chicago the other day, just grabbed a quick drink, social distancing, handling all that, sitting outside. The bar is a Browns bar, and they're interested in a live show potentially this year. So, Jason, we may have to get you out to Chicago for a live Browns Huddle podcast at that bar.
I am there, man. Yeah, I'm there. I can hop in the car and be there in about 10 hours.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, go Browns, man, and we'll talk to you soon, Andrew. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. Talk to you next time.